Hello, I am speaking into a microphone now.
That's all we needed. Thank you. We can go home now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening.
You're listening to episode 38 of Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith and my good friend Morgan Richards.
It's me, and I'm on a completely other level of excitement for this week's episode.
Yes.
And everyone's going to make damn sure they tell all their friends with what we've got coming up.
I was excited for this episode, and then you started doing
Sean, you know how I do. Have you got a bad feeling about this?
Do you know what the saddest thing is? I know that you travelled up today with all these ready, right? And we've been together now for about 3 hours today, and you haven't mentioned you were going to do this, right? And you've had these fucking ready, and you knew I was going to kick off, and so you've even sorted out puns for after I've been upset by him.
Got to be prepared, haven't you?
I ate him, Mog. Yes. Anyway. So anyway, as you've obviously guessed, because you can read, and Morgan's given it away, obviously, with his terrible puns, which he does to a deadline every week.
Sorry about that.
Our guests this week are Adam Lazara and John Nolan from inspirational megastars Taking Back Sunday.
Yes, you wouldn't believe how happy I am for this episode.
Oh, I would.
No, literally.
I would.
Literally, I am next level.
I know. We were both extremely happy when we found out we could do this.
Yeah, very much so.
So thank you very much to Emma Van Dyte, Emma Van Dizzle. She sorted this out for us. And we were kind of, I personally was a bit nervous going into this one, and I haven't really been nervous about doing any of the others. It was just knowing that we had a full episode with them and a range of topics we could talk about. And yeah, I was just really excited.
Yeah.
It was more excited than nervous, I suppose, but yeah, it was awesome, and
it was a really good chance. I thought we got to speak to them backstage at their show in Bristol when they're over here for their UK tour, celebrating 20 years as a band of Taking Back Sunday. So we get to go into all sorts from that two decades, get to openly talk about some of their most iconic albums, and just a whole range of
burning
questions we've had for all these years.
We talk about Mike swinging.
We do.
How could I not touch on that? For anybody who'd ever seen the Blackout Live, I'm sorry. And also, you are welcome. But also, you saw me chuck a mic about. And, you know, sadly, I know you're probably all thinking, well, Sean, you obviously invented mic swinging. Wrong.
No,
I'd seen somebody else do it, and then I got good at it.
You just stole it from
people. Yeah.
Made it your own.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we talk about all that, and we had a great time.
We did. It was probably, I was going to say, we've been very lucky enough to talk to some crazy people on the podcast so far, but I think this is being one that's another level of importance.
Another level
of importance.
We're going to interview Dean Bowers and not another level. The boy band.
I was trying to be all like sentimental and nice about this.
Well, you know, I couldn't let you do it.
I know, but they're a band that mean a lot to both You and me. I mean, anyone who knows me personally, listen to this, will know how chuffed I am to have this band on.
Oh, all three of them are ecstatic for you.
Yeah, all three of my friends. And
that's two more than I've got, so jealous.
Yeah,
I am.
No, but like, it's, on a serious note, not to get like fangirly or
sexist,
a bit deep or anything like this, but if it wasn't for Taking Back Sunday, I don't, because they have been the band who have helped me through a lot of stuff growing up with mental health, with a whole bunch of things over the years. So I'm just excited to have Adam and John on and get a proper chat with them and get them to tell their stories.
Nice, yes.
And for some daft reason, if someone hasn't checked out their mad backlog of stuff, please do, because they've got anthems on every record.
Yes, they are.
And it's helped and influenced all kinds of people and bands, including you, Sean.
Yes, completely, yeah. Oh, there's so many bands today that are out and about that have taken inspiration from Taking Back Sunday. So, again, thank you very much to Adam and John. I know they listen every week, but I know they're excited to listen to this one because they both came on and they both showed us off their Sapnin tattoos they had.
Massive back pieces. I couldn't absolutely believe it. But talking about taking things from Taking Back Sunday, you used to sing You Know How I Do over your song Top of the World.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did do in the middle bit. It's because there was no singing over that bit and I was bored. So I realised that fitted and then that's how that would get into there. Yeah, we had a great time with Taking Back Sunday. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, John. What else do we have to talk about?
Well, of course, it's a very busy period right now going on with the summer and all the festivals. We've been really busy. We're going to be at Reading Festival next week, which I'm extremely excited for.
Yes.
But of course, if you fancy a last-minute festival getaway, happening right now in the UK is Arctangent Festival.
Oh, that's this weekend, yeah.
It is this week. It was happening right now.
Arctangent Festival in the Bristol.
Yes. And of course, if you want to get down, you still have a chance, because Meshuggah are going to be playing the only UK show of 2019 tomorrow. That's the Saturday, 17th of August.
Nice.
And you can get 10% off your tickets with promo code SAPNIN on their website, arctangent.co.uk/tickets.
Big fan of Meshuggah. That song Bleed is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The drummer is absolutely insane. If you've never heard Meshuggah Bleed, go on the YouTube and watch the drum cam for the drummer and have a listen, because he's playing 72 different songs at the same time and it's incredible. I don't understand how he could possibly do it.
And then rush yourself down to Arctangent and watch it live.
Get
but
there.
Otherwise, if you look at this year's lineup and gutted you couldn't make it, as of this Sunday morning, for an exclusive limited time only, you'll be able to get super early bird tickets to Arctangent 2020. And this means a huge 20% off all tickets.
Nice.
There's no booking fees. And the option to have a full refund up until March if anything comes up or you change your mind for some strange reason.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Thank you very much to the people of Arctangent for getting in touch with us and letting us know all this information.
Yeah, and of course, for letting listeners that's happening to get 10% off their tickets for this year's lineup. So,
also, if you're another festival or a tour or anything like that, and you want to get in touch and you want us to possibly shout out your stuff, just get in touch at sapninpodcast@gmail.com.
Ooh, nice.
Or you can follow us on our socials at Twitter and Instagram at SapninPod. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
You heard a little break in Sean's voice there. That's because he's actually just caught a fly.
Mid-air
while recording this podcast.
I'm like Mr. Miyagi.
You are.
People don't know
Mr. Miyagi.
I didn't
even hear you do it either.
When you were doing the Arctangent stuff, I plucked it out of the air and I was trying to show you, but you were so concentrated. I was like, look at this.
Because I saw you do it and I thought, if I look at you now, I'm just going to go on about that. So I wanted to get all that important information in first so we could do this bit.
Mr. Miyagi.
But speaking of our email address and social media, if anyone wants to send us some free stuff as well, that would be really cool, because Sean's got a load of energy drinks recently.
Monster. Thank you very much to the people at Monster for sending me some of the pipeline punch. It is literally like my life fluid at the moment. I'm on the old goth petrol.
He is.
It's fantastic.
He's got his own Eiffel Tower.
It's an Eiffel Tower. Yeah, it's an energy drink tower.
Yeah, so I like free stuff. Otherwise...
Oh, there you go. All right. Shut up, mouth. What's happened here is, Sean's... You know Sean, who used to be in that really big band that did really, really, really well, right? Monster have got in touch with Sean, who's in a new band now and has got a podcast that's doing all right as well. And they've gone, oh, do you remember when we gave you some Monster before? Would you like some more? And I've said yes. So then,
I'm happy for you.
Then journalist Morgan then.
I'm really happy for you.
I think did a lot of journalism for... Yeah, hasn't been offered any Monster, no. So now he's trying to get on the blag. Somebody send him some free shit. What can I send? What's on brand for you? You don't even like drink, like caffeinated drinks.
It was a joke. I'm happy for right you. Then. I just like
what
free
can,
stuff.
What can Morgan have? Eyebrow trimmers.
Yeah, that is there.
I can't think of Gillette. Dear Gillette, send Morgan some eyebrow trimmers. What else can you have, Morg? What else do you like?
And shoes.
Bloody hell, fucking hell. What else do you like? Oh, like money. Oh, yeah, send me a £50 note.
I also like having a nice group of a community.
Oh, nice. Do you know what I was about to say? Why didn't you say a community group? And you have, so well done. Yes, go on. Do this bit.
Yeah, so instead of giving me free stuff, you can just get involved with our Patreon.
Oh, I like that.
So if you head over to patreon.com/sapnin,
yes,
you can get involved with our ever-growing and fantastic community and get exclusive rewards and tiers and all kinds of stuff back for your support of the podcast.
Yes, and it's lovely to see that a lot of the people are meeting up, getting together. Lately, we've had Sam from the community, Amy and Emma all went to what's it called? Church?
What's Sheffield?
Yeah, yeah. I know what the fucking town's called, Morg. Don't I? I was trying to think of the name of the vegan restaurant they went to. Anyway, yeah, so three of the community met up in Sheffield. Obviously, I know what Sheffield is. And they all went out for food. So, yeah, it's nice to see, and everyone's very supportive of each other, and we're all in touch and messaging each other. So it's a great community. Everyone's absolutely lovely. And thanks again to all those people who support us with the Patreon.
Yeah, it literally means the world. As Sean said, people have been even doing unofficial Sapnin meetups for future festivals going on later in the year and everything. And everything that comes from the Patreon goes back into making this podcast bigger and better than ever before. So please go check it out. patreon.com/sapnin.
Awesome. Is there any other news this week?
There is some news I want to touch on. So I'll do this bit. News. And that nice sound was there.
Tidy.
Last week, of course, we mentioned the news of Funeral for a Friend, a reuniting for a couple of very special charity shows.
Yes.
Not only did those tickets sell out within 5 seconds, they added another date, which sold out. So now they're playing a total of 3 shows around the UK in October. And 2 of those shows have support by who?
Pay the Man in Cardiff,
yeah,
which is a friend of mine called Kyle,
friend of mine as well, so shout out to Kyle.
You had to get that in. Acoustic friend of Morgan's, right?
That's better.
Kyle,
that's better.
I don't know, Kyle, do us a favor, get in touch, bro. Would you, if you had to say one of us was your friend, who would it be? Kyle, Pay the Man, and then also Patreon member David Winchurch and his band Those Damn Crows.
Yes, I'm really excited to see them riff off in front of people's faces.
Yes. Who else is playing? Holden Absence is playing the first gig with a band called Wallflower as well. Was there anybody else?
Well, I was trying to set you up to say this, Sean, but I'm sure there's a band that you're somehow involved in.
Oh, yeah, Raiders are playing. Yeah, Raiders are playing. And I knew about this for a couple of weeks. So remember a couple of weeks ago when we were like, ha, 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 stuff coming up? Well, this is it. And we knew all along. Yeah, but Raiders are very lucky to be asked to play with Film for a Friend. And, we're very, very excited. We're excited as we are heartbroken, to be honest, because really, I think Film for a Friend would agree that we'd all rather not be doing these shows for the reason that we are doing them, and that is because our friend Big Stu has been given a terminal prognosis for the illness he currently has. So we're trying our best to raise as much funds as possible for Stu's family. So I know tickets are sold out, but if you guys head to FAFF_official and check out the link for the Just Giving page for Stu, and if you could give anything at all, that would be fantastic, because he's an absolute legend.
And it's been great just to see the reaction and everything for the support of Stu, and as Sean said, go and check out the Just Giving page so you can get involved and help as well. And as Sean will be playing, we're going to be trying to get the podcast involved somehow and do maybe a special and get some more money raised. So it's just great to see all the support that's come from this.
Yeah, it's outpouring of love, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see. So thank you very much to everyone who's donated so far. Thank you very much if you bought a ticket. Obviously, you didn't buy a ticket to see us because we weren't announced. And I'm sorry if you've bought a ticket and you didn't want to see us. But tough fucking luck. Anyway, other news. Yumi at Six have a song out.
Yes. New music. New music by Yumi at Six is out this week. So go and check that out. And they're going to be performing and headlining a festival in London in September called Gunsbury.
Yes.
That includes a lot of former guests of the podcast, and yes, Death of Honor as it is, and Milk Teeth,
yep,
as well as one of my personal favorite bands, Jimmy Eat World.
Yes.
And I'm surprised that Yumi at Six or the festival hasn't been in touch for two reasons. One, to have us there.
Come on.
Obviously.
Yep.
And number two, to have you, Sean, perform The Consequence of them, because they're playing all their singles in full.
Well, yeah, you'd think so. You'd think so, but none of Yumi at Six have been in touch. So if you listen to this now, if you could tweet at Yumi at Six, Gwyn, hey, you know Sean was on The Consequence, right? That'd be enough. Because I'd like to be there to do that song with them, and I'd also like to be there to do the podcast there.
And so I'd like to be there to do the podcast and to watch Sean scream with the guys on stage.
There you go.
Happy
so
days.
Let's make that happen.
Let's make it happen.
And anything else?
Yeah, there's couple of quick things I wanted to mention. Is the lovely boys we like to talk about the podcast in While She Sleeps.
Yes, oh yes.
They brought out a special t-shirt this past week that really showcases how little bands make in the music industry from streaming services.
Yes, they brought a t-shirt that explained that the price of one t-shirt, which is your standard £20, I believe, is worth 5,000 Spotify plays.
Which is absolutely crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. So, and what the While She Sleeps boys have done as well is they've made that design. It's not a While She Sleeps specific design. They've made it available to other bands that want to sell it as well, which I think is such a nice thing to do. It's a good message to get out there, because I think a lot of people don't realize how much Spotify doesn't pay bands. Like, I know you're paying a tenner a month and that's cool and you get all our music there, but yeah, bands are not making money off the music. So so support bands however you can. Merch is the way forward at the moment. So yeah, well done to While She Sleeps, and hopefully we'll get the While She Sleeps boys on
I soon. Very much like that.
Yeah, me too. Lovely, yeah. Lovely boys, got my support 100%. I love what they do, I love their music, I love how they are with their fans. Genuinely just love them. So
yes,
well done to While She Sleeps.
And as Sean said, support your bands, go and buy merch, go and buy tickets, go to shows and just enjoy them while they're there, because you never know what can happen.
You never know. Right then, what else was there?
That should be enough, I reckon.
Yeah, that's it. Let's get on with this, for the love of God, right? You've been waiting for it since we've started talking about it. We've been waiting for this to come out for about 4 weeks. We're really excited. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam and John from Taking Back Sapnin.
Woo!
I meant Sunday.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Hey.
Sapnin.
Yeah.
Oh, John nice. Got it. Nice. John's got it.
50%.
I always try not to do my accent around people that naturally talk that way.
Yeah.
Because I feel like maybe they'll find it offensive. So that's why I didn't know what to do in that situation.
That's all right. Completely fine with us.
It is a bit of a weird word anyway, so we'll let you off.
We do realize we do have these ridiculous accents as
that's
well.
That's true. So no, it's not fine. Ridiculous. It's just different.
It's
mine.
It's a bit ridiculous. Like, Welsh people on TV only ever play like unintelligent characters, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
like, they're all like dopey, like, and Irish people, they get a little bit with that. But anyway, what are we doing? our guests this week are the legendary, inspirational. Music changing. Incredible live band that are Taking Back Sunday.
Yes.
This week's guests are
shucks.
Adam and John.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Are you just trying to butter us up because you're going to ask us some weird questions?
Not at all. Genuinely, we both feel this way.
Yeah, we do. I agree with everything you just said. So, yeah, but thanks for taking time out to talk with us on your UK tour.
Yeah. Thanks for
having us.
Taking the time. Welcome to our lovely accommodations.
Our beautiful bus.
I haven't spent much time in this room, to be honest.
No? Oh, you've been missing out.
Nice.
It's a wonderful little room.
I see you've got the old Xbox games.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's been playing them or not, but we've got a nice collection here.
Oh. Yeah.
It's there.
No, Andy was playing the other day. Yeah. But I haven't seen anybody else touch it though.
Legends of WrestleMania, that looks fun.
Yeah. What? I didn't see that.
It's got all the legends.
We have a game of that.
Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, The Rock.
Yeah,
so Junkyard Dog.
So
Junkyard Dog. JDJ man's blast from the past.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bloody hell.
But how's things been? How's everything going in the world of Taking Back Sunday?
Great. This tour's been great. We've been going pretty much nonstop since January, and we started in Australia and did a bit of Asia, and then we did a U.S. tour, and we were happy to bring this tour over here, you know, because it's 20 years since we've been a band, which is really hard to believe, and we wanted to just basically, because we put out Tidal Wave, and that record cycle was kind of winding down. So typically we would just go straight into writing another record, but then when we realized that it was 20 years of us being a band, we thought, oh, well, we're just going to take a year and go to the people that made all this ride possible, you know, and play whatever they want to hear. And that's what we've been doing, and the show's been great.
Oh, I bet they are.
Yeah, because I was going to say, celebrating these 20 years, you've been everywhere, playing different albums in full every night. What's it been like for you just revisiting the whole back catalogue of songs and seeing the different reactions for songs you haven't played in a long time all over different countries?
It's it's pretty crazy, man, because there, well, even for me, like, there were songs where I was like, oh yeah, we had, this is one of ours. and because yeah, because there's a lot, you know, that we just haven't been, like you said, we haven't been playing over the years. And it's funny too, one of the things I noticed that I guess kind of reminded me of just why I like any kind of art so much is that depending on like where you are in your life, you know, one thing could mean something different to you. And for instance, like, we have this song called This Photograph Is Proof, and after a while, you know, like, I just, like, it didn't really do it for me.
Okay.
And then when we went to revisit and we were relearning it, because we had never played it with this lineup of the of the band, but then I realized, like, it was like, oh my god, this mean, like, this song means a lot to me, but it means something completely different than what it was when I first wrote it, just because I have different lenses now. So anyways, I think that that's pretty cool, but that's happened with a bunch of the songs.
Okay. So. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I'm sure just celebrating two decades, a lot of memories have just come up, and I'm sure it's a figure you can't really believe it's been that long since you guys started out.
No, it doesn't feel that long. Like, when we first started talking about it, our manager, Jillian, she's like, you know, 2019 is going to be 20 years since you joined the band. I'm like, nuh-uh, shut up. And but it, she was right. We're some of the luckiest guys you're ever going to meet, because it's like, who gets to do this for 20 years, you know? So, John, how are you feeling? I've been hogging all our,
it's fine.
I've been hogging all our airtime.
I've just been waiting for when, you know, there's something that I have to say. Oh. I think you've held it down very, very nicely. So, you know.
Well, you're welcome then.
How do you guys feel about Tell All Your Friends being the inspirational record it was to so many bands? Because I know my band, The Blackout, like, if it wasn't for Glassjaw, you guys, Lost Prophets, Refused, we probably wouldn't have sounded anything like we did, or probably have done half the things that we did.
Yeah.
So how do you feel looking back on it now, seeing how inspirational that first record was? Or do you even feel that? I don't know. Like, you should.
Well, it's like hard for, well, for me, it's like hard for me to see it like that.
Yeah.
Because for me, I mean, well, I mean, that record changed all of our lives. Being as it was the first one, and it did what, reach so many people, but they're like, yeah, I've never thought about it like that. Like, I was, because at the time we were just trying to get enough songs together so we could tour, and we thought it'd be amazing if we could have a record like in stores, you know. And yeah, so it's, yeah, it never really,
I think it's hard for us to look at it any differently than from our own personal experience with it, which is just being kind of like dumb kids who had never gone into a studio before and were just like excited to make an album. And we had our expectations, I think I remember even having conversations about, like, well, maybe we could sell like 10,000, 20,000 records, maybe, you know, like, that would be amazing, you know. That's where our heads were at. So everything that happened,
yeah, that was like the top too.
Yeah,
like,
that was
like,
kind of like,
we're like, we know this
crossed.
Is not going to happen, but wouldn't it be cool if it did?
Yeah,
we start getting 20 printed, and then we'll
go from there.
I think our producer, I even remember him making jokes about when the record goes gold, he wants, you know, his cut or whatever. And it was like, hey, we're all laughing, you know. Yeah,
you're never gonna you're never gonna get it. Yeah. I know he's invoicing you every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard for us to separate that experience of making it and where we're at from the reaction that it got after and what it means to people now, because it still will always kind of be that to us, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of bands in our scene that came out like 5 to 10 years after you guys brought that album out probably owe you 20% of everything, so you should
we should go collect.
Get a big debt collector.
I'm gonna go have to write some strongly worded emails after this.
I did come up with that idea, so you can't cash that 20% on me. So
he's just trying to save his own ass.
I'm trying to save my own ass, but I'm also trying to make you money as well, so that's
win-win for everyone, really. But with that, I mean, it goes without saying that a lot of Taking Back Sunday fans have always had connection with your songs, doesn't matter what album it's been on. But with Tell All Your your friends. It seems to be that kind of different level of, I think maybe the first one of the first albums they'd listened to with that kind of music and that kind of seeing it at that time. Have you just been able to see that with this tour in particular, playing these songs every night? The fans are just extra enthusiastic about this set?
In a way, yeah. I mean, there's it's really interesting to hear, like, or to see kind of some of the deeper cuts on that record, you know, like Head Club.
Yeah.
And then, and to see the reaction that those songs get, because we're all, because we're kind of like, nobody's going to want to hear this song.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's interesting with Tell All Your Friends, because, yeah, like, even the ones that are less popular, I'll always notice, like, there'll be, like, a small group, at least, of people who are into that one song, you know? Like,
yeah.
And you can tell, you know, some of the audience in general goes a little quieter on those, but, you know, there's always a pocket of people who are like, yes, this one!
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so that's cool.
Oh, awesome. Nice. Yeah. And in the States and stuff in particular, you've been kind of flipping the coin about what other album you've been playing live. I know you've even had some guest appearances from, like, Seth Rollins, the WWE superstar.
He came out in LA. And then, that whole idea, first the idea was brought up just as a joke, and we're like, yeah, we're never going to do that. And then we just ended up doing it. And it's actually nice, because in that first night, because we've been doing that if we're in a city for 2 nights.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that first night, it's just, you just don't know what you're going to be playing. And then so there's a little bit of anxiety, but the good kind that comes with that.
Is that a nightmare for your techs then? Are they like, oh, I've got to go get the other guitar back.
What are they going to do? When we first were doing it, it was like
just
chaos.
A shit show. Yeah.
Every time once a coin was slipped. By the end of the last U.S. tour, I felt like we had it. Even, you know, I guess everyone figured out a system to deal with it. You know?
Well, yeah, because then even like that first night, you know, you flip the coin, it lands on whatever. Everybody's got a tune.
Right.
For the song that they didn't know they were going to play. And then, like, during the first song, you can see everybody, like, running out to put set lists down. And then, so it's a little bit of chaos, but nice. I enjoy that.
I was going to say, you probably got to, like, keep on your toes as soon as it lands to go straight into the first song, really.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I think that the crowd is a little bit more forgiving too in that situation, because they don't know what's coming next either, and they know we don't know. So we have a little window of time. Like, it's not like, because, you know, normally during like a regular set you try to keep things moving.
Yeah.
And then but there's definitely like 2 or 3 minutes there to where we're all figuring it out.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, and with celebrating this 20 years, you've just put out a kind of best of kind of record, getting all the singles and kind of a couple of deep cuts.
Titled 20, we kept it simple.
Yes.
Yeah. Good thinking. We actually had two new tracks on there as well. Was it just something you wanted to put on this record, or has there been talks and writing other new material process already? Or
everybody's always got ideas kicking around, but it's like really not until we all can get together in a room to where things really start to take shape. But those songs came from, we were writing, like, we had like a window of time.
Okay.
And then John and I live in North Carolina, and Mark and Sean live in New York. So Mark and Sean went to the studio and just kind of laid down the bare bones ideas for these songs, or well, for one of them, or for All Ready to Go, and then they sent it to John and I, and then we kind of put our thing on it, and then we all got together and to like hash out the smaller details. But the other song, actually a song for Dan, Mark had been working on that since like right around the time we started touring for Tidal Wave. He would always be on his phone, and you would think he'd be like playing a game or on social media or something, but turns out he doesn't have any apps on his phone, just GarageBand. So like he would be sitting there on his phone, like putting this together with all these samples, and he's gotten real quick at it and good with it. So with that, it was just a matter of, or for that song, it was just a matter of putting like words and a melody to it. And John actually had something that worked really well. So
And with Alcy, we've mentioned revisiting songs and a couple of ones that you've kind of forgotten playing, haven't played in a long time. But is there any, in those 20 years, is there any Taking Back Sunday songs you feel has never had the recognition it deserves? I mean, because I know like El Paso was one in particular
that came out. That's the big one that always I think we come back to.
Or we figured it out that only like 12 people like that song. Like it's like it's us in the band, Mark's brother Dave, my dad.
Made up brother name.
Yeah.
No, Mark's brother Dave. Everybody's brother's called Dave.
His name is Dave O'Connell. And Andy likes that one. John, anybody? Is there anybody else?
I met two people at the bar last night. Two fans
told me
that they love El Paso, like and they said, "When are you going to play El Paso again?" And I said basically the same thing you're saying to them now.
Yeah.
But every time we talk about how nobody likes it, I feel like there's always one person that pops up online or somewhere who's like, I like that song. But well, it's still, yeah, only like 16
so
people. We open with it, I think, every show for like a year.
Yeah. Like, we're like, look, it's going to catch on. People are going to love. And just, it was crickets. But now, I mean, when was the last time we played it? We played it randomly not too long
ago. We played it one random show, and I can't remember. It was one where we knew, especially though, that no one would really care.
It's like, this is for us. And for you people, you just don't know
which show it was, but it wasn't that long ago. It was a pretty random.
Yeah.
Calgary?
Calgary.
Calgary. That's right. Yeah, and we felt like nobody would care, and we were right. But it was fun.
But in the U.S., we had lasers, and which is pretty cool.
I love a laser.
But they can spell.
Yeah.
They can spell things out. But the thing is, the crowd can't see it because they're looking at us. But we can see it
because
it's
El Paso
shooting out that way. Yeah. So Eric, our LD, had it say El Paso for them. Like, oh, that's great.
That's blinding people and putting a song title on and they don't want it. Brilliant. Yeah. What do you think it is about songs like that then, where bands love them but they just don't seem to go over with the crowd? What is...
If I knew the answer to that, we just...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'd all be writing just non-stop bangers and go over every time.
It's really weird though, because like obviously we said we've been doing this a long time, and I feel like you still don't know. You put out a record, and whatever you think is gonna catch on, you could be right, you could be wrong. It's just, but most of the time I feel like I'm wrong. So even now I'm just like, this one is gonna be, people are gonna love this. And it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we don't mind it.
Yeah, but with that, I think you talk about, I think, changing over the years and everything in between. I think the last two records that you guys put out have gone down.
Are the best ones, I know.
Well, I was going to say, it shows that a lot more like mature side to the band. It shows that you've still got those elements that Taking Back Sunday fans have loved throughout the years, but a bit more older influences. And maybe if you think that's just being a casual journey.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that we are much more comfortable now leaning on a lot of our a lot of the things that influence us. Because before, you know, you'd get kind of worried, like, oh, this doesn't really sound like a Taking Back Sunday song, because it's... But we've just kind of realized, like, well, we say what sounds like a Taking Back Sunday song, you know? So, and that kind of opened the door, you know, to just try out different ideas. It's funny, like a lot of people have said, oh, well, or like with Tidal Wave, they'll be like, oh, it sounds more mature. It's like, well, I hope so, because I was 18. I was 18 when Tell All Your Friends was recorded, you know, six.
Yeah, that's the running story.
Yeah, 6 years old when we were writing. That makes us 26 now. Yeah. But yeah, I just think that's a natural thing. I mean, like with anything in life, you know, like I would like to think I drive a car better now, just because I've been doing it longer.
Yeah, you never hear a review of a record and go, oh, it's a lot less mature than the last record. Yeah, oh, it's a lot more childish than the last record. Swearing a lot. Chocolate Starfish is a lot more childish than Significant Other. Oh, I don't know, it's a pretty childish album.
Are you talking Limp Bizkit?
Yeah, I'm going too far. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, you lost me completely. I didn't know that those were titles of Limp Bizkit. Biscuit.
Yeah.
Records.
Yeah.
You're not a Limp Bizkit fan like I am.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Me neither. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, really. I just wanted to bring up the nobody's ever
bands
more.
Getting more immature with time.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, 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 nah. Yeah, your new album. Nah, 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 nah. How do you feel about that? But yeah, it's just never happens.
Yeah, well, I know for a fact me and Sean were talking in the car on the way up here, and we were talking about two music videos for your back catalogue in particular.
Two questions.
Okay.
Number one.
Okay.
Your Soul Last Summer.
Yeah.
Flavor Flav. Two questions. Why? And number two, what was his response? You know the answer. Bear in mind, you know the answer deep down. Flavor Flav. What was the answer when he was asked to be in the video?
When he was there, he kept asking, what group is this?
Oh, no.
He probably doesn't know he's in Public Enemy, though.
He must have asked that like 5 or 10 times. So he's from the same town Mark is from on Long Island, and we were trying to think of what to do for the video with our buddy Christian. And John at the time, John and Sean had just left the band, so like we didn't want Fred to be singing in it, so we were trying to think, and Mark goes, "Yo, I just saw Flavor Flav the other day." Like,
I bet what we could do.
Yeah, like I bet we could get him to do it. And then, because he would just see him around town.
That's with a clock. Always knew what time it was.
And then, no, he wasn't wearing the clock at the time. He had these really strange sunglasses, though, that you can notice in the video, that, like, rather than going behind your ears, it's like this contraption that went around his head, the top of his head.
When they had the Oakley ones.
Yeah. It was strange. They look like future glasses. But that's...
Good name for a band. Yeah, sorry.
Future glasses.
Carry on.
So, yeah, that's how that came about.
Yeah. So. Oh, the answer I was looking for when he was asked to be in the video was, yeah, boy!
Sorry.
And the second the second video...
I just feel like I really let you down.
No, sorry.
You set me up and everything.
No, it's okay. Right. It was a bad setup, to be honest. I mumbled. It's okay. The second video... what was the treatment for the Death Wolf video? Was it did you get a big treatment of Sipaday and eat a sandwich? And then
Well, there was we had a really big budget. It's funny that was we were thinking because they wanted us to put out like a lyric video, and we're like, well, we don't want just graphics. So our buddy Seamus, he does video. That's what he does. And so we just called him and we were like, can you come over to the house and just film us doing this thing? And then so, yeah, like it was right. Like we were facing John's house, and I just brought the Bronco over, and yeah, we just so that would be funny.
So there's a running theme that I'm noticing in this interview that, like some of the other things we talked about, it started out as a joke, and then let's just do that.
Yeah,
that seems to be the majority of best ideas. Like my old band, literally looking back on it now, we must have wasted so much money because we did stupid things like we were second from top on the second stage of Download. We were replacing Sum 41, so because we knew all the Sum 41 fans were going to be disappointed, we had a 50-foot backdrop made that said "Fuck the blackout," because
why not?
Because once we've said it, what can you say that's going to harm us? We spent a fortune on that. We had inflatable middle fingers that came up as we started. We had our first ever headline show.
Wait. So like. Like you had like a blower that
they were giant hands, right? They were, you know, proper five-fingered hands, right? They would have just come up like that. But we had them tie all the fingers down.
Back,
so all the Sum 41 fans who hadn't found out Sum 41 weren't playing were there going, yes, here we go, Fat Lip, is it? And then we would come on and they'd be like, what the fuck the black? Oh, Sum 41 have taken a dislike to the blackout, I think. And then all of a sudden, as it starts, two giant middle fingers either side of the stage.
That cost us a couple of grand. I was wasted. Wow.
I wouldn't say wasted.
No, that wasn't wasted at all. You
could have been a band longer.
You still have pictures of it though, right?
Yeah, there's video of it, which is lucky. But if the internet goes down, I got no proof of I've ever been in a band.
Well, you've got the memory of the story which you just told. So.
Yeah, but the problem is, like most people, nobody will believe it. That's the thing. I can make that thing.
I didn't see it, but I believe it.
Yeah. Thank you.
There we go.
You know what would have been amazing was if so the middle fingers came up and you had that backdrop. Okay, so the middle fingers are coming up. If you guys started playing like that, and then just went into your own set.
Well, between 2009 and 2012, right, the Blackout played more Sum 41 shows than Sum 41. We replaced them. For some reason, we sound nothing like Sum 41. We're not pop punk in the slightest. Why they thought the Blackout would be a good fit, I have no idea. But we ended up replacing them on the Kerrang tour, and we'd come on to Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word by Elton John. So I'm sorry, so sorry. Yeah, yeah. And I'd go, I'm sorry we're not Sum 41, we're the Blackout. We'd start, play one of our songs, and as soon as that song finished, I'd go, only fucking joking, ba ba bam bam, and we'd play Sum 41 Fat Lip in its entirety.
Oh, you played the whole song.
You played the whole thing.
The whole
song.
That is a good. That is a good move.
Completely switched. They'd gone from I hate you Welsh twats to the one song I give the year anyway. So we won them over by then, but yeah, it's
nice.
Yeah,
see, that's great.
So yeah, having a laugh was fun, but yeah, we wasted some money bloody doing
so
it.
So basically, all you've got to do in the band is think of ideas for jokes, and then they become the best ideas ever,
and then just follow through on
your jokes.
Yeah,
these ideas.
Yeah, it's the. I think with anything in life, it's all about the follow through.
Yeah,
and then. Yeah, because that's me and like a lot of our career. Even it's crazy ideas that we're followed through on. Yeah. So,
well, yeah, this whole life, like this whole band life, is just crazy when you think about it. I'm just gonna go play music around the world to people.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
yeah. Watch me.
Yeah, watch me. Crazy idea.
Yeah.
Job done.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about is the evolution of the term emo, because we were talking before, and we've said to a couple of other guests where I think that term was quite derogatory a couple of years back, and it was seen kind of frowned upon. But now,
in recent years,
it seems that it's come.
People are proud.
It's come back in full swing. Man. I mean, it's associated a lot with Taking Back Sunday. What's your kind of feelings about all that kind of?
Emo used to be a word that you would use to make fun of your friends with.
Yeah. Hmm.
And then one day, it just switched and people started claiming it, saying, like, I am this.
Hmm.
Or, like, bands would come out, like, we're an emo band. And we would always be like, well, that's ridiculous. We're a rock and roll band. But it's a strange thing how it... Yeah, it has kind of, because then people were claiming it, and then I guess too many people claimed it, so it became bad again, and now people are claiming it again. Like, I read this thing, something Anthony Green posted, and it's all about, like, this, like, emo revival thing, and like, how many years ago? Like 7 years ago or so? Like we'd be doing interviews and they'd be like, how do you feel about this emo revival? And we're like, well, what the fuck are you talking about? Because for us, we've just never gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the whole thing's a bit silly, but maybe it's like a natural human instinct, you know, like this pack instinct of like you want to be a part, and in order to be a part of something, it has to have a name.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we were starting out, a lot of the talk about emo and our relationship to it would come from people interviewing us. It wasn't something that we were like thinking about or talking about amongst ourselves. We didn't really give a shit one way or the other.
Unless we were making fun of one another.
Right. But I guess it was kind of like the grunge thing in the 90s where, you know, like people that are writing articles, you know, they got to have a name for things and, you know, kind of categorize. Yeah. And it makes sense, you know, that they have to find names for things and talk about it, you know, in their articles or whatever, but we've never really given it a lot of thought, you know, one way or the other, I feel like, ever since then, and even now.
Hmm. I think this is the most I've talked about it.
It's fair. Yeah, of course, we can't, Adam, we can't have you here without talking about your legendary mic swinging skills.
Big influence.
Big influence on Sean.
On a lot of people, I think. I was talking to Jeff from Thursday, who was one of the first people I ever saw lobbing a mic about. Mm-hmm. And he used to do it in kind of a wild, chaotic way.
Yeah, he would do like big, like just basically hold his arm up and you would kind of see everybody like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But
yours is a bit more calculated. And yeah, I was telling Jeff and I was telling Morgan earlier that I saw a video of you from Reading one year when you were throwing a mic about. And you do something that I still don't understand to this day how you did it. And
I might not know either, so you're gonna have to tell me.
Yeah. That was my worry. And like how did
sometimes
that,
you get lucky. Yeah. But
I found that, yeah.
Wait, what was it? What did I do?
I'd have to show you. I don't think there's I can't really explain it. But yeah, you threw it out, came in, and then I don't know, you did something with your arms and it went around them. And then all of a sudden it was back up, just levitating in front of you, and it was there. And I don't know how you did it. It was almost as if you defied gravity for a couple of seconds.
That sounds like it might have been an accident.
That sounds like it.
That's my classic arm twister.
I think you find that's called Isaac Newton.
Yeah. It's a real humdinger of a move.
Yeah, now, how did you get into that? Like,
I was the bass player in the band, and then I had, like, it's kind of almost like you, like I had the bass to hide behind, or like something to do to not to help with the nerves, you know. And then when I started singing, you know, you feel a little bit like Ricky Bobby, like you don't know what to do with your hands.
I won't do with any of this.
But also I'm a huge At the Drive-In fan, and Cedric has this way of doing it to where like I don't even know how he does it. Like, he'll like toss it and catch it with his foot and then do this. It's crazy. So that's where it originally came from, I think, was like, well, maybe I could do that. And then it just kind of grew into its own thing. And then, like, I got made fun of for a long time about it.
Oh, really?
And now every like, if we play a show and I don't do it, people are like, show sucked.
I want my money back.
Yeah.
Like, they played fucking note perfectly. I hated that.
Yeah, right. So, but, well, because, like, we played a show in Dublin at Whelan's, like, last week. And it's a really small place. And, like, so on the stage, like, it was just impossible to, like, throw it around. And I saw on my Twitter, somebody's like, or this girl's like, you didn't throw the mic once. And I'm like, well, I physically couldn't.
What do you want me to do? Kill the front row?
Yeah. Just knock everyone's teeth out. Like, thanks for coming to the show.
Yeah, speaking of, I was the Blackout played, I think, the year you did Give It a Name.
Oh, and I knocked Matt out?
Matt Rubano.
Yeah, laid him out.
Flat out.
Didn't mean to. So we had, the stage was real big, and the other shows we had been playing, the stages weren't so big, so normally when we're on a bigger stage, like, I'll just get a little cocky. And then, so I go, and I toss it around my neck just as far as, just, like, really far. And then, so it's swinging around my neck. It, normally, like, you feel the tension there, and I just heard, like, and it went slack. And I was like, what the hell just happened? And I looked back, and Matt was just
flat out,
like, knocked out. And then he oh my God, I still feel so bad. But he was such a trooper, though. So, like, he kind of comes to, they take him down, the paramedics, like, wrap him up, and he comes back up and finishes the show. And then after he's done playing, he goes to the hospital and gets all these stitches, and I felt really bad. But that was like that was the worst time.
Yeah. I was about to say, was that the worst accident? Accident.
I started to become a lot more aware of, like, where everybody else was on the stage.
Yeah.
After that, but because I think what happened with him was, like, he was, like, looking down at his tuner and then, like, hit it and went to walk forward, and yeah.
poor man.
Yeah, it sucks for him.
We saw him not long ago because he's with Glassjaw at the moment.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
And then...
I wonder if he's going to be doing that that Long Island show with him. Mm-hmm. See, because I heard, too, that he was doing...
Angels and Airwaves?
Yeah.
We saw him at Slam Dunk and we had a word with him.
I think he was filling in for Glassjaw for about 10, 11 shows and then...
And then doing the Angel stuff?
With Tom DeLonge and co. So.
Alien Hunter.
Yeah. But, yeah, awesome.
Tom DeLonge has a lot of secrets that we don't know.
Apparently, though. But does, like, I don't know. Does he? I don't know what you know with the secrets. I'm on about the alien stuff.
Because I was talking, because a buddy of ours, Jeff, has worked with him for years. Mm. Just like a no-nonsense guy. And we saw him not too long ago because he's tour managing Jimmy Eat World now. Mm. And so we played a show with him and... We were talking about... I said, are you going to go out and do Angels when they start touring again? And he just... we got to talking about Tom, and then he was like... He's in deep. He's in real deep. And then, but he said it in like this real serious way, and then it made me think, Tom knows shit that I want to know.
Yeah. Well, he's working with the government, supposedly.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
Well, surely UK tour, Angels and Airwaves, Taking Back Sunday, play massive arenas, and then you can tell you all the stories.
Find out all about it.
See, I don't know if he would tell me though.
Man,
you might not be allowed to know.
But yeah.
Hello there.
It's for your own safety.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we were talking to Matt about it, and I said, how did the conversation go? He's like, he called me up to ask me to be in the band, and we spoke for an hour, and the first 10 minutes was him trying to persuade me to be in the band, the next 50 minutes we're talking about aliens. Of course it is. Nobody can sit down with Tom DeLonge anymore and go, right, tell me what you know, because you know some shit.
I'd be disappointed if it wasn't like that at this stage, to be honest. But with all that, I mean, we've mentioned that he's going to be continuing to be busy, continuing to celebrate this 20-year anniversary. But what else is on the cards next for Taking Back Sunday now? Is there any little surprises or plans coming up?
Well, it's crazy. This is the first time we've ever had a year, start to finish, planned out.
Wow.
We knew where we would be going in the middle of last year, and it's the first time it's ever happened. And then, as you know, normally you're doing the thing in January, oh my god, what are we going to do in the fall?
Yeah.
So we've been kind of just enjoying that and knowing where we're going to go. And I would imagine that next year we'll, after the dust clears and we'll probably go in and start writing. I know I'm excited too.
Yeah.
Because then, too, it's nice to spend the year, celebrating what we've been able to build and all that. But I also, I would really like to be in the studio.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, great to hear.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, well, that's been a really great insight.
Yeah.
So thank you ever so much.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been great.
Very fun. It's been one of my most favorite episodes so far.
One of mine as well. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Nice. Best podcast ever.
Yes.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Cheers.
Thank you. You're
listening to Sapin Podcast. Wait.
Yes.
That was Adam Lazara and John Nolan of Taking Back Sunday.
I can't quite believe we actually have done an episode with them, to be honest, because they were probably at one of the top of my list when we started doing this podcast of guests I'd like on here eventually, and it's happened.
Nice.
So really chuffed. They were absolutely lovely. Got to talk.
Might as well stop doing this, no man.
Nah, there's still a lot on that list.
I don't know.
No, there's a lot. There's a lot on that list, and we need to make that list complete.
Complete.
So, yeah, because when we start something, you might as well finish it.
Yeah, with this one.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No, you might as well.
No. You've just said if we start it, we've got to finish it. So
yeah, eventually, when we're 90, probably. Anyway, let's...
Which is about 6 months for me.
Oh, meh.
It's about 85
but
years.
Anyway, here. Thanks again to John and Adam from Taking Back Sunday. They were an absolute pleasure to speak to. Very funny. You got some great stories, and including the time that Mike Swings get a little bit out of hand.
Yep, nearly killed that.
Matt Rubano.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast, Matt Rubano.
Friend of the
podcast. Who hasn't been on the podcast yet. Hopefully will now be on the podcast in the near future.
Yes. But a special thanks again to Emma Van Dyke for sorting this out for us.
Legend.
You are literally a saint. And yeah, but Taking Back Sunday, as we talked about, are celebrating 20 years as a band, which is incredible. And they've got a lot of more stuff coming up for the year of 2019. They're going to be playing loads of more dates over in the States. They've got a special remastered edition and vinyl of Tell Your Friends on their online store. It's a green vinyl. It looks absolutely beautiful. I might buy myself a copy. That's how nice it is.
I wouldn't know what to do with the vinyl. But I'm interested in you in the remastered version of Tell All Your Friends. Well,
yeah, yeah. They've got loads of things coming up, so make sure you keep up to date with everything online.
I will, Morgan.
You will?
Oh, no, you tell. Oh, sorry.
Oh, right, okay.
Me and you were just having a conversation.
Oh, we are. This is a podcast. That's what we do.
I will, Morgan. I will check them out. Yeah.
And yeah, and they did talk about new music, but they have just released a special acoustic edition of A Decade Under the Influence that features on Punk Goes Acoustic,
nice.
Volume 3, and that features a load of former guests of the podcast as well, as in As It Is, Under Oath, and Mayday Parade.
I forgot we did them. Under Oath, especially. Big Chris. Lovely boy.
Download special. Go back and listen to that one.
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, this has been a big episode for us. One of our favourites as well. Again, I can't say thank you enough to Adam and John. I was worried that, because some people see us, when we turn up, some people just expect, oh, here we go. Same old boring interview. What are these divs going to ask us? But luckily for us, we tend to have had some really, really good guests who have done good interviews. So, yeah, thanks again. And, get in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram at SappeningPod. Send in guest suggestions or questions you think you wanted to hear from the bands that we might not have asked them. So when we do round two with them, we then have those questions ready.
Yes, and I was going to mention, we've got a lot of very cool things coming up in the not-so-distant future as well. We're going to be at Reading Festival next week. So if there's anyone on the Reading and Leeds lineup you'd like us to speak to, tag them, tag us, and hopefully we can make it happen. And don't forget, if you want a last-minute festival getaway to ArcTangent, make sure you check out arctangent.co.uk/tickets for 10% off to get yourself down there tomorrow to watch Meshuggah, or you can get 20% off your tickets for an early bird special for next year's event.
Awesome. That's it, I think.
No, we've got to say a massive thank you, because we like our thank yous
to
our Patreons who help make this podcast happen. Without them, God knows what we'd be doing. So not only
I know what I'd be doing.
Sleeping?
Prostitution.
Oh, interesting. Didn't have you down. Anyway, not only a massive thank you to anyone who gets involved with the podcast and on the Patreon, but a special thank you to the elite members of our Patreon page who are as follows.
Dana Lasnova, thank you very much. John Price, thank you very much. Emma Barber, thank you very much. Janelle Caston, thank you very much. Liam Connolly, thank you very much. Paul Hirschfield, thank you very much. Nathan Croshaw, thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, thank you very much. Scarlett Charlton, thank you very much. Kelly Irwin, thank you very much. Sam Ledgerwood, thank you very much. Mitch Perry, thank you very much. Becca Vaughan, thank you very much. Craig Harris, thank you very much. Emily Senegal, thank you very much. Martina McManus, thank you very much. Lucy Diaz, thank you very much. Hugh Stockwell, thank you very much. John and Emma, thank you very much. Mark Patton, thank you very much. Marcy Jacobson, thank you very much. Kieran Lewis, thank you very much. Jordan Burchard, thank you very much. Sharifa Wadali, thank you very much. Mike Cunningham, thank you very much. Livy Cropper, thank you very much. Kelly Cannon, thank you very much. Lydia Henderson, thank you very much. Scott Jones, thank you very much. Amy Thomas, thank you very much. Jamie Bluth, thank you very much. Jenny Robinson, thank you very much. Tony Michael, thank you very much. Samantha Spray, very much. Samantha Spray, very much. Samantha Spray, thank you very much. Becky Mayoko, Maloko. Becky Maloko, thank you very much. Michael doesn't have a surname. Thank you very much. You know how many times I said thank you very much, Chen? Too many times.
I can't believe you did all that. I thought he's not going to keep this up. But he did.
He has done. Again, thank you very much to all those people. I'm sorry I said thank you very much.
Stop saying it. You've said it enough now.
Right.
It means the world, literally. It's not a joke. Cheers.
Yeah, it's not a joke.
Yeah, for getting involved. And if you'd like to become a part of the community, patreon.com/sapnin.
Yes. Do that, please. We love chatting to everyone and the meetups, etc.
Yes.
That's it.
So, if you've gotten this far,
Oh, we need a word, don't we? What's a difficult word? Oh, yes, I got a word for you. If you've got this far, please tweet at Sapling Pod or Instagram at Sapling Pod the word Siamese. That'll do, pig. Thank you very much for listening to episode 38 featuring the Taking Back Sundays. I've been Sean Smith. He's been Morgan Richards.
I have.
Sapling!
You're listening to Sapling Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.